We have Lewis Connolly, who's recently become minister of the Ipswich Unitarian Meeting House. He's fascinated by the search for a contemporary non-realist approach to doing theology. You can ask him what that means during the questions. He's formerly an Anglican curate, and Lewis is married to Kat, an Anglican priest in training.
The question which kept on coming back to my mind as I heard the various presentations kept on coming back to this problem we have with our Unitarian identity. What is our Unitarian identity? And if we can't speak of a shared Unitarian identity, then how can we begin to speak of a shared Unitarian systematic theology? I think that's a very difficult and problematic question, but I definitely agreed with Stephen Lingwood that we're not coming at Unitarianism as if it were a blank slate, but rather truth is contextualized in spaces and time, as it is contextualized in this space on Sunday mornings and contextualized in the churches and chapels and meeting houses that we all come from. To move towards, then, a catch-all theological identity seems problematic. In doing theology in the context in which we inhabit has much value. It enriches our spiritual life. We must stand up as an authentic alternative to mainstream Christianity or Orthodox Christianity and create internally robust liberal religious space. The only kind, then, of Unitarian identity I am comfortable with, and I do like and want to get behind, is what Joe James was talking about, this idea of the egalitarian immanent spirit. Though it's more difficult to see how policy can be built on that, or indeed how any systematic theology can be built upon it. Unitarianism then feels more like a kind of subjective quality that we enter into in spaces as opposed to something we can necessarily write down on paper. But nonetheless, today and experiences like this invite us to journey with each other and heighten together the quality of theological discourse. And that gets a big thumbs up from me, and I look forward to continuing this conversation with all of you.
I would like to ask you about non-realism and Unitarianism then, insofar as I made a point earlier about Karl Barth and post-liberalism being one form of it's non-realism, really. It's neither objective nor subjective. It's postmodern. And the Martineau being another way to the postmodern, the subjective being so strong it collapses any objectivity. But the Unitarian tradition has been one of simplified Christianity, simplified, make it pure, find the essence, find the kernel, what's left of the objectivity of it. It's very difficult to be non-realist when you don't have a given symbolic tradition that you're sort of undermining but keeping all the time. And you're an ex-Anglican, so you might understand that when you do a liturgy, a fixed liturgy, you give it non-realist interpretations quite easily, because you know it's a kind of a nonsense, even if it's a spiritual nonsense. But when you mean what you're saying, you say what you mean, it's quite difficult to be non-realist, isn't it?
Yeah. I think there's an ongoing problem with, you know, the use of religious language in our movement, where we always run into the problem where it's unclear to the uninitiated what we mean in the language that we use. So we throw around like God, a word like God, or we say the Lord's Prayer together, and I say the Lord's Prayer, for example, from non-realist perspective, or from a kind of Althusserian perspective of understanding that the objective God, or the God up there, has either never existed or is dead. And I think it can be helpful to step back and to just unpack that for people, just so they realize that there is
a thick depth of metaphor that we use on Sunday mornings. And that can invite people into these types of spiritual conversations, which otherwise can feel quite alienated from them, I think.